Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Cosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And once again, we're joined in studio by our friend of the show. What's up, Eric? How's it going, brother?
Yo, dude.
Yeah, man. Good to see you.
That was a terrible...
That's what happens when white people are given and they're just like, here, man, here's a handshake. And I'm like,
it was
a
very failed attempt.
I've known you for how long, and I still haven't figured this out.
We don't have a secret handshake. We just give really longing nods to each other with our eyes like this, just look each other's eyes. So, yeah, I love that. As always, this episode was recorded before we live, Studio Ostrich. Wani B. I know, right?
Still he's here. He's in a weird outfit now. But
dude,
I'm here.
We got
for
him
it.
Sunglasses now. Do you see him? Do you like
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's interesting.
I thought it was a bit much, but Juan thought, hey, why not put some sunglasses
hey,
on?
We gotta get a little ostrich buddy. A good.
We really should.
What do the kids say? Drip. Good. Drip?
Yeah, he gets some drip. Get some risk for Mr. Ostrich. But Wani B. So what we got on tap for today's show, man?
So today we have another trailer trash episode.
Oh, yeah.
We go over the trailers for a movie called Wolves with an F spelled incorrectly on purpose.
On purpose.
And then Moana 2, a teaser trailer for Moana 2. After that, we introduce a couple of new segments to the show. We're trying to get creative, have new ideas for y'all. First segment is called Pitch Please. Cozy comes up with some creative movie ideas that he's going to try to pitch to us. With real actors, real directors, the whole works, and try to sell us on his ideas like we're movie executives. And then a new segment called a one-shot. Basically,
yes.
We got a Wheel of Fortune type situation. We're going to spin a wheel.
Yeah,
you might be able to hear it in the background. We're going to spin a wheel.
You train the ostrich to do that?
Dude, the ostrich can spin the wheel.
That's in. I thought he was just standing here for show the entire time.
Hey, just watch this.
Dude.
Right?
That's killer.
Right?
Got some multi-talented ostrich.
It took a while. It took a while. Like a little bit of coaxing. Yes, the ostrich is racist, but it's cool. Like it knows how to spin the wheel. But yeah, man.
That's great.
But yeah, so the concept of one shot, y'all, is we spin the wheel. We basically come up. We have on our wheel different streaming services and then different genres. We'll get to spin it twice. So, for example, we'll spin it once, land on Showtime. Spin it again, land on comedy, and we'll go in, try to find the random show. Basically has one shot to impress us. We'll give it a review next week, let y'all know what we think. Watch the first episode and see if it's worth continuing on, see if it's worthy of your time. Try to give some shine to some stuff people haven't seen.
Yeah.
Or, frankly, sometimes shit on stuff that doesn't deserve to be seen
exactly.
By anyone else. Right, should be a fun concept.
Yes.
So kicking us off, obviously we got Eric here, we got Cosi. Big news today, y'all.
Oh man, we're gonna
Trump
get into it.
Was found guilty on all charges.
On all of them?
All 34.
That's so many.
All 34.
I think they become a felony. For those at home, I think basically. The case, I mean, I'm sure most people have heard of it, but
yeah,
basically
the
case was
he
fucked a porn star, paid her off to stay quiet, and the state successfully argued that those hush money payments were done, first of all, improperly. He didn't pay from his own money.
Which would have been okay.
He's
within his right to pay with his own money.
That is the funny thing. If he had just paid her from his own bank account, it would not have been illegal
can
tell.
Yeah.
But no, he wrote it off as a business expense. And y'all, I'm just going to say it. Fucking porn stars and paying them to keep quiet is not a legitimate business expense. Don't write that off in your taxes. I guarantee you it's not going to go well.
And that's bold.
Yeah. So anyway, so that came out. But the way it became a felony and it became a big deal, because it's usually with just the effect of this, which he has to pay his back taxes, right? You wouldn't go to jail for ripping off the government on, like, you know, $20,000 worth of taxes. They just make you pay interest and penalties.
Right.
And, you know, they're not going to send somebody to jail for that. Where it became a jailable offense is that he was doing this. He was making these payments in service of his campaign. He wasn't doing this. He claimed to be – he paid this off so that his wife wouldn't find out or that it'd be embarrassing for his family. But the state successfully argued that it was no. He did it to gain advantage in the election. And that's why it rose to the left to the level of felony. And that's why he might be potentially going to jail, depending on appeals and all that stuff.
But Juan, I think the more serious question we got to ask is, what does Ja Rule think of all this in the grand scheme of things?
Ja Rule, honestly, I'd be very curious. That motherfucker did Firefest.
No,
y'all remember Firefest?
This whole thing, I think the whole thing is kind of turning. It's been a circus. I personally hate politics, but like you know, it being the biggest thing.
We usually don't go into politics. Can I just say though? We do also talk about how, you know, Hollywood is into the nostalgia bait, making sequels to everything. You know, everything is licensed IP from forever ago. It's pretty wild that now the U.S. is getting into it with Civil War Part 2 and World War 3 coming, Cold War 2 kicking off. We got some real stuff here. We got sequelitis all the way up in politics and global order.
Yeah, but I'd rather it be on the silver screen than like in real life, because it's like too real sometimes. And you know, this has been an escape, but like, you know, I think it's funny how this guy has been like a figure throughout our lives, like from The Apprentice, from Home Alone 2, freaking cameo, like, and then all the way to the White House. Like, he really kind of flipped his whole career from being, you know, businessman to like TV personality, then like leader of the free world. So like, it's crazy to see seeing all this. So.
It's a wild anime upgrade. Yeah, but, it definitely didn't. I mean, we don't like to get into politics too much, but the guy is pretty ridiculous,
dude. Another thing, and you know what? I knew they tried to overshadow this news I'm about to say with Trump's whole thing, just stealing the thunder. But have you seen the Deadpool and Wolverine popcorn bucket?
Oh, that's the real news of the day.
Have you seen this? Okay, well, I need you to pull this up.
Okay, like, we're gonna pull it up, Jamie,
because it's wild. So, I think Dune 2 kind of, like, kicked off. They've always done, like, weird popcorn buckets before, but, like, Dune 2 had the funny butthole popcorn bucket of the sandworm where he had, like, frills in there.
Remember like that? A fleshlight.
Fleshlight
of the devil type. Yeah.
Type in Deadpool popcorn bucket reveal.
Reveal.
Yeah, they had like a whole little trailer
everything
for
is
it.
Revealed
yeah,
these
like
days.
And the marketing for this has been just on point. Just with the right there.
Popcorn. Yeah, right. They have a whole trailer just for this, y'all.
And I thought it's fantastic.
We're watching it now. Oh my god, this is for real.
It's real, Juan. So Ryan Reynolds like definitely like teased this for years. Yeah, so we don't get copyrighted, but yeah, man, like, for the viewers at home, it's a gigantic Wolverine mouth for your popcorn-grabbing pleasure or other things.
And your dick.
And your dick inserting pleasure.
It's so big, and
Oh my god, y'all.
And it's Wolverine. Like, Wolverine has always been a PG-13.
It's the OG Wolverine costume. Oh my god, they have the dripping butter. Y'all, the design by Deadpool.
Dude, those are going to sell out
exactly
fucking fast.
They're already sold. They're already sold.
You thought those D&D popcorn buckets sold out fast? Dude, these are going to...
So
hotcakes.
Do you think these are a bit far? Dude. Do you think they're taking a bit too far with the bucket?
I think Dune went too far.
with the sandworm
This is honestly more egregious in a way. The Dune one was suggestive, obviously, but this is clearly meant to be.
It's the mouth.
I think it's a brilliant marketing.
Yeah.
It's Deadpool.
What a great way to
Deadpool.
Get...
I'm honestly kind of blown away if AMC is willing to put this in their theaters and have people getting popcorn from in the real world.
Do you know how many people will go to that theater to get that popcorn?
Just for
the
bucket.
A lot.
It's going to bring... butts in seats.
A lot. But, hey, you know, some woman shows up, some mother shows up with her six-year-old daughter and gets traumatized.
All it takes is one Karen, dude.
So, I mean...
all it takes.
There's a risk there.
That's not that traumatizing, though.
It's not. Like, it's you guys not. It's are, funny. It's,
I feel like you guys... I feel like...
Maybe I'm just too used to the Karen mindset.
That's
pretty suggestive.
It's funny.
It's pretty suggestive.
It's bad as an adult, but if you look at it as a kid, it's just like, cool, a Wolverine popcorn bucket where you put... Your hand in his face.
Yeah. You know, I will say,
I don't know.
Deadpool is not a movie you should take your kids to. Well, I mean, maybe they're like 13 or something.
I know in 2016, because it was so new, it definitely caught people off guard. So you hear stories about like people bringing kids, but this is like the first movie. By now, they've kind of told
I've
everybody.
Seen people bringing kids to horror movies. People are just dumb about what they bring their kids to.
This one time I saw. Remember the movie called Don't Breathe? Remember that?
Yes.
Movie that's all about sound being quiet.
Yeah.
So opening night of Don't Breathe, someone brought their infant. So like. Throughout the movie and parts where like it was really quiet, you just hear like the baby. I'm not mad at the kid. I'm mad at the asshole parents that brought the kid.
Don't bring your kids to movies.
You're an asshole. Just PSA from It Was Me.
If your kid doesn't know how to be quiet during a movie, don't bring him to
It's not the
theater.
Kid's fault. The kid can cry all he wants. It's your fault for not
baby.
Having a schedule.
It has no control over its whereabouts.
But yeah, I just
has no ability to decide where it's about to head out to.
But yeah, that was that was an experience I had. But no, I hope this experience with Deadpool 2 and this popcorn bucket not only brings butts in seats, but hopefully brings people just to like, you know, have a little bit of sense of humor, have some fun with this.
If y'all can't tell y'all, we are very excited for this movie. As much as we have crapped on superhero movies, and as much as I'm still cautiously optimistic as opposed to full-on hyped, it's going to be the movie event of the year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and we're definitely excited.
I don't want the most quality, but it's going to be the most fun movie of the year.
Yes,
very
sir.
Likely.
All right, man. So let's go into this first part of the show.
All right. So trailer trash time. All right. So I'm going to start off with the trailer for Wolves. So this is a movie, kind of a quick description. It's two cleanup men, I guess you could say.
Or fixers, quote unquote.
Fixers, hitmen, something. Yeah, kind of a fixer situation. If you watch Ray Donovan, it seems kind of that.
That's such
definitely
a good
Ray
show.
Definitely Ray Donovan-esque.
That's such a good show.
Great show.
I enjoyed that a lot. Great show. Good show. Good recommendation. But so they're kind of two Ray Donovans that end up being assigned to the same job, right? That's the takeaway I got from the trailer. And so kind of shenanigans ensue when it turns out not only are they suddenly having to work together, but the dead guy they're supposed to be cleaning up, the corpse they're supposed to be handling, is actually alive and has a bunch of drugs, just a couple of kilos at least, of cocaine. Or did they say it? Did they specify cocaine?
Yes, it's coke, yeah.
And so, yeah, anyway, shenanigans ensues. What do y'all think?
I noticed that, the Harvey Keitel's character in Pulp Fiction who comes to clean up the murders, his name is Mr. Wolf in the movie.
Oh. Yeah,
so I don't know if that has anything to do with...
Oh, that's interesting.
Because he does the same thing, but in Pulp Fiction.
That is a curious...
When
what's
Jules...
Harvey Keitel.
Harvey Keitel.
Great actor.
When Travolta and Sam Jack kill that dude in the house, they have to call him to clean up the body and to make everything look nice, which I'm assuming is what these guys are doing in this trailer. So
that's what it seems
there could
like.
Be. There could be a...
That would be a very interesting reference.
I mean, they did spell it like that, plural, wolves.
Yeah, wolf F-S. With an S, L-F-S.
Yeah, so, but...
Definitely a different... I mean, obviously, they're banking on us remembering the chemistry between Pitt and Brad Pitt. And
yeah,
George
you brought
Clooney.
That up, and I... Yeah,
Ocean's
with the Ocean's 11.
11. I mean, that was a classic... Those were classic movies... carried in large part just the sheer charisma and fun those two seem to be having with each other.
Well, it's been a while since I've seen George Clooney in, like, a role that I would want to see him in. Like, okay, I'm not saying these are bad movies, but, like, he was in that movie, he won that Oscar for Descendants, where he reconciles with his long-lost daughter. I'm not going to watch that. You know, like, so this is a movie I would watch. Like, I'm used to seeing George Clooney in really intense roles, but also sometimes, like, he was in Fantastic Mr. Fox when I was a kid. He was in Michael Clayton when I was a kid, which I didn't understand. I was talking to you about this earlier. It's great as an adult. But yeah, he's always been like...
But he's also been amazing in comedic, goofy roles.
Yeah, dude. No, absolutely he is. So, I mean, one of his... most known roles to me is Oh Brother Where Art Thou, which is a goofy freaking movie, man.
Yes.
But he kills it. So
even Ocean's movies, he plays a suave character, but it's a comedic tone to it.
Yeah.
It's not a movie that takes itself seriously. He's a great versatile actor. Glad to see both of them. They're old men now. They're kind of on their way out from Hollywood a little bit.
But yeah. Well, I mean, Pitt was just in Bullet Train, and that was kind of a comedic role, and he did great. So, I mean, this should be...
Brad Pitt, honestly, has always been a tremendous character actor that just looks like he should be leading movies. Yeah. But his character roles, his goofy, off the wall.
He's just too damn handsome.
Remember Burn Notice?
He's too damn handsome, dude.
Burn Notice, he was such a dumbass in Burn Notice.
Too damn handsome.
And honestly, guys, I've just been looking up this cast. So besides like George Clooney and Brad Pitt, you have Austin Abrams, Amy Ryan. You guys know her from The Office. It's
Michael Scott's wife.
Yeah, Michael Scott's wife. And John Watts is directing this. So John Watts did the three Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. So, you know, it's action. He also did a movie called Cop Car with Kevin Bacon and Clown, another horror movie. So he's done like ran the gamut of like a lot of like Hollywood genre films. So like seeing him come into this cool like espionage kind of action movie with George Clooney and Brad Pitt, it looks pretty good to me. So I think it comes out September 20th.
September 20th on, is it theaters? It's an Apple TV movie.
I believe it's saying it's coming to theaters. Yeah, it's coming to theaters. So it's an Apple TV movie, kind of like Napoleon. So Napoleon was the first Apple TV movie to go to theaters. This will be the second one.
I appreciate Apple doing serious theatrical runs for its movies.
Yeah. Makes it grander.
I don't know if they've made too much money, but Killers of the Flower Moon was something that deserved to be seen in the big screen.
Yeah.
Was Napoleon good?
I never watched it, honestly. I heard it wasn't great, to be honest.
So
I feel like I should have just because, what's his face? Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix is great.
One of the greatest actors of our time.
And Vanessa Kirby, who's also in it, she's fantastic.
Vanessa Kirby is very fantastic.
Yeah. She's going to be Sue Storm, speaking of fantastic.
Yes.
So,
So real quick, second trailer of the day, Moana 2.
Moana.
This is just a teaser trailer. They kind of just show a bunch of scenes from the movie. Don't really have too much dialogue or too much story given away at this point. For the most part, I mean, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, the animation looks
the killer. Art, the scenes. I mean, the first one was a spectacle, but they really went all out, at least in the trailer, showing us fantastic scenes.
Yeah, I liked the original Moana. It wasn't like on my love was the same I put with Coco, but I enjoyed the first Moana a lot.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, The Rock's great. Great singing voice. But just the look, not even from this teaser, and even going to the original movie, it looks gorgeous. Taking in that whole Polynesian culture, that whole aesthetic is fantastic. So we're coming up on, it's been 8 years since Moana, which is kind of crazy to think.
I think it's still great that they're using Alan Tudyk for the chicken.
That's who the chicken is.
Dude, there's a clip of him recording in the voice studio just doing chicken noises, and he's like, I went to fucking Juilliard.
And I'm
doing chicken noises now.
No.
He's great, dude. Alan Tudyk is
every voice
underrated. He's such a good voice actor.
My favorite of him, my favorite role from him ever is between Steve the Pirate and his
Dodgeball.
Yeah, and his role and his role in Firefly. I think it was
role
Wash.
In Firefly is
Wash was an amazing character.
Did y'all watch A Knight's Tale?
Yes, him, Paul Bettany, and
Heath Ledger.
Dude,
there's a show that he has. I'm briefly just going to talk about this. It's called Con Man that you should watch. It's
what where is it on?
I forgot what it's on, but Con Man in the sense of he goes to nerd conventions a lot.
Okay,
so he's a con man. Yeah,
okay, that's close.
I heard it's great. Man, yeah,
I can't see Tudyk in a serious
in a
drama
serious
role.
Yeah, no, it's yes. I do you, but, all heard right, it's very good.
Do you think he can pull it off? Because someone like Sandler, I thought, couldn't.
He absolutely
he could.
Alan could do it.
But yeah. I don't think you should put him as the lead of your movie. No disrespect to him.
Oh, you wouldn't have him being
I
like an
have
Oscar
him
Beatty
be your lead.
Okay,
I could have him. You could have him be your supporting actor.
Okay,
like a major supporting role.
Yeah. Okay, I
but
can rock with that.
I just.
I feel like
not
Alan,
buying him as
a leading man.
A leading man.
I feel like if you make Alan Tudyk a lead, serious, dramatic actor, he just turns into Ben Foster.
I can't unsee that now.
He just kind of turns into Ben Foster.
I can't unsee that.
Which I kind of liked him in his early role.
Yeah, he was in Hell or High Water.
Hell and High
Ben
Water.
Yeah,
yeah, he
Hell
was also in, I think, like 310 to Yuma.
310
actually.
To Yuma.
They
was
were both. So was Alan
Wait,
Tudyk.
The original
they were both in 310 to Yuma.
No, the remake with
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe. Christian Bale. Yeah.
I don't remember that guy's face. What was his name again?
It's Ben Foster. Right? Ben Foster. Yeah, and then he was
the blonde dude.
Ben Foster. Yeah,
He was also in that space movie with Dennis Quaid that was really good. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, dude. Bro, that one wasn't bad.
Foster's face in 3:10 to Yuma when Russell Crowe shot him.
Yeah.
That was some top tier acting.
Dude, Foster had some good
Ben Foster,
roles.
If you're listening to this podcast, we love you, buddy. You're a treasure. We love Ben Foster.
We love you too, Alan Tudyk. We're not trying to
Alan,
shit on you, I promise.
Both beautiful humans.
I would love to see him in a serious drama role.
Oh, yeah.
But I still think you play better as a support, like as a strong character supporting actor. Margot Martindale type role, you know what I mean?
But going back to Moana 2, so like I'm looking forward to it. I don't remember the first one. Probably got to go rewatch the Moana 1, but for a teaser, it did its job, showed us cool stuff.
Teaser definitely did its job.
Pandorum. Thank you, Eric.
Teaser definitely did its job.
Yeah, did its job, bro.
I will say this seems like a little bit of a desperation play from The Rock. His shine has come off pretty hard.
His shine is coming off. He has that movie coming up where he plays that fighter that we talked about last week. So he's kind of coming back. But yeah, he's not the same old squeaky clean Rock.
What was it? Black Adam?
Black Adam.
Bombed.
He was in all those Jumanji movies.
Those are actually pretty good.
They made money and they're pretty good.
That was still...
Are we talking about bad movies he's in?
Well, just recently.
He's kind of had a bit of a fall off.
And then you hear stuff about him showing up to set late, peeing in bottles, just being a weirdo.
Just again,
hey, Rock, stop being weird, Rock. Stop.
He clearly tried to take over DC. Put Henry Cavill back in.
He made a play for it.
And then the movie sucked so... I mean,
James Gunn was like, no.
How about firing everyone?
How about
they just gave everything to James Gunn instead, and James Gunn's like, y'all suck. Get out of here.
He knows what he's doing, though. Yeah, I mean, look what he did with Marvel and shit. Even the Suicide Squad movies.
Suicide Squads were great. Peacemaker was great. Underrated.
Guardians movies were good.
He wrote Scooby-Doo. The live-action one.
Yeah.
He also wrote Dawn of the Dead, that Zack Snyder director.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That was a top-tier comedy movie.
He's been in the game for a while.
He's been in the game.
Yeah. No, and he has not missed in a minute. Probably Guardians 2 was his weakest film lately, and even that was at least passably solid.
And that was still a summer blockbuster.
Yes, it was.
That's still a B-plus movie.
Yeah.
But Moana 2, we'll see if The Rock can get some of his shine back. For a bit there, I mean, he was the leading actor. You don't have to make a bunch of money. He was kind of the Will Smith of our time.
Kind of everywhere.
Not as talented. I mean, he's talented, but not as talented and versatile.
I would say he's more
Will Smith.
The Chris Rock of our time, because Chris Rock was once the highest paid actor.
Okay, I can see that. I was thinking more like how Will Smith did a bunch of action roles, comedy roles.
And then,
he kind of taken that specific kind of like good natured dude you just go and see and you have a good time when you watch the movie. Yeah. You don't have to think about it too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he has definitely fallen off a bit. He's not an instant box office draw like he was a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We have about 6 months until Moana comes out. It comes out Thanksgiving of this year. Kind of snuck up on everyone with that. So,
if the animation looks that good, it's hard not to at least be curious.
It's a great family film.
Do you think out of the Disney movies that are coming out, this one's the most anticipated?
Nah, man, Deadpool.
For
kids' movies.
I'd say,
what else do they have?
Inside Out 2 is coming out.
But that's Pixar.
But it's, I guess, under the Disney.
It's in the same umbrella.
Disney umbrella.
It's a different studio.
It's a kids' animation.
It's a different studio.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like.
Okay, that's fair. I would probably say Inside Out 2.
Yeah, Inside Out 2 definitely has a huge audience, but Moana has a gigantic audience.
Does Moana really have that big of an audience?
It has a big audience.
Moana has a nice audience, but Inside Out was probably the last big Pixar movie.
Yeah, that one was huge that I remember. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one being really
big. They've had some good movies since then. Luca probably would have been pretty big if it wasn't for the pandemic.
They release it at home and whatnot.
I remember people were talking about that movie for months afterwards.
Inside Out was
it was up there with Up, with Wall-E.
That's the Amy Poehler one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Toy Story. It's one of the Pixar greats.
Yeah.
I will definitely defend the movies. I'll give Inside Out the edge for now. But Moana 2 looked pretty nice. So
hopefully it would. At the end of the year, we should do a box office to see who won.
Oh yeah,
just out of those,
right. do like interesting to see. A retrospective. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So let's hope Moana 2 lives up to the first one because I really enjoyed that one. So we got next one.
Okay, so now we're gonna introduce a new segment. Pitch please.
Pitch please.
So new segment. Basically, we're gonna take a more creative tact. Kosi is gonna play the role of an up and comer.
Scriptwriter,
idea man, director. He's going to pitch movies to movie executives / producers, me and Eric.
So you're just telling us what you think would make a good movie, and I tell you whether it would or wouldn't.
Yes, sir. That's
he's
going to
give us a couple of options, and we kind of critique his options, go over what we think, and then try to pick a movie to see which one we think should get made.
All right.
Well, hello, gentlemen. Thank you for listening out here. I know it was a busy night. So, first things first. Hollywood is on fire. It's dying. Someone killed.
I thought you meant on fire in a good way.
Oh no, no. It's on fire in a bad way. People, the box office returns aren't going. People aren't going to the movies because ideas are gone. They're not fresh. But you have me, up and coming, plucky Hollywood screenwriter Kosi, to pitch you guys three projects. Okay. So first, every studio needs this, which is your summer blockbuster. It's May, the kids are out from school, it's hot. You want to go into the theaters to see something cool on screen, and here's what you'll see. So here's my pitch.
I like that pun.
So, right? The world is in peril, again, and only one man can come to its aid. Dustin Goldknocker, a.k.a. Agent Goldust, is the best there is. But when a terrorist organization from a generic Latin country threatens the world with a trio of satellites that control the weather, it's up to Agent Goldust to put the cookie dough down, put his foot on the gas, and stop this madman in the biggest event of the summer. It's basically the Bourne movies, Commando, and the first 15 minutes of Predator, all just smacked into one. It's called Goldust. It stars Alan Ritchson as Dustin Goldknocker, a.k.a. Agent Goldust, Sydney Sweeney as Mrs. Goldknocker, Daniel Radcliffe as Agent Goldust, guy in the chair, Javier Bardem as Juan Pablo Escobar, the dictator of the generic Latin American country, Melissa Barrera as Maria Escobar.
Juan Pablo Escobar, can we take a second? Are you serious? Bro, that's the most famous narco guy of all time.
No, it's Juan Pablo Escobar. This guy's different. See, it's ding, 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 not ding, 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 ding. Yeah. It's different. It's not the same.
We'll allow it.
Yeah.
I am white, and I feel like I don't know enough about this actor to...
Javier Bardem?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the other dude, Juan Pablo.
That's not an actor. That's his racist name for the bad guy.
Oh, well, that's why I'm lost. Okay.
and then Keanu Reeves is Agent 77. And every summer blockbuster needs a celebrity cameo. Pedro Pascal as a celebrity cameo, and this will be directed by David Leitch and Chad Stahelski. They did the first two John Wicks. David did Hobbs and Shaw, Bullet Train, and Chad Stahelski did John Wicks 3-4. And that is the summer blockbuster.
Well, I like the Pablo Escobar angle. He's very hot right now.
God damn it.
He's very in.
Yep, I did my research.
Everyone still wants him.
I'm assuming this is some kind of meme for the fact I'm Colombian, y'all. There's no way this is for serious.
Is this intended to be
racist?
A comedy drama or straight?
Oh no, it's an action.
It's an action movie
with comedic elements. Alan Ritchson is really good at delivering the funny with the action. Sydney Sweeney's kind of hot right now too, and
I vote for us changing the bad guys to generic Eastern Europeans. Those are hot villains right now.
Oh, you are correct about that. Yes,
those are the hot villains on the street right now. Get some Modern Warfare vibes.
So would you guys greenlit this, or should this go back to the writing drawing board?
I think it's actually a pretty fun idea. I like the Goldust name actually.
Goldknocker, I like that name.
Yeah, but it's
Goldknocker. Yes. Although it's a tiny bit of a GoldenEye ripoff, that's the only...
Oh, yeah, it's a love letter to the Bond, the Bourne, and also just really, really high-octane 80s action.
No, those are fun. That's a fun name.
All right.
And Alan Richardson's... How is his name?
Alan Ritchson.
Thad from New Bound State.
The current... and he's the current Jack Reacher, so...
But his famous role will always
be... He'll always be Thad to us when it was moving.
State.
All
right. Shout out of the week right there. No, that sounds like a fun movie. What'd you think, Eric?
I definitely feel like this.
Feel free to shit on Cozy's feelings.
No. I definitely feel like this would work. It's a lot of angles from people's best roles. And it's a lot of people that people want to see.
All right.
Definitely it's a crowd pleaser. At least
from 100%.
You probably would want a little bit more details on what the actual plot structure is going to be like. It's a little...
Should I tone down or put the foot on the gas with the racism?
You probably have to lean into the comedic elements if you wanted to keep up the Juan Pablo Escobar.
Will do. All right, guys. So I guess moving on to my next pitch then.
Now you'd have to have the guy getting pissed. It's like, oh, you mean like the cocaine dealer? No, my name is Juan. Why are you so...
Okay. All right. No, I'll writers workshop that portion. But all right, cool. So my next one, guys. Every studio wants to have this big just movie. Well, I guess big in the sense of the idea. A24 is the biggest at that, and we need to capture that lightning in a bottle. I think I found it. Okay. So here's my pitch for an A24 movie. So we follow a disenfranchised high school English teacher with marital problems.
A disenfranchised
high school English teacher with marital problems. He's busy raising a 16-year-old daughter. She discovers that her dad isn't having an affair, but he's actually been involved in the underground world of competitive speed walking. In doing so, the two bond and create memories and work through unresolved trauma in this dramedy from director Richard Linklater. It's called Sore Losers. It's starring Nicolas Cage as the dad, Miranda Otto as the mom, Sadie Sink from Stranger Things as the daughter, and Hong Chau as the best competitive walker in Austin. And again, directed by Richard Linklater, who directed Days Confused, Boyhood, Everyone Wants Him.
Okay, but so...
Walk me through... Okay, go ahead, Eric.
Sorry. My one take from this is I think you should ditch Linklater. Ditch him. He's no good right now.
He's no good? Okay.
He's no good right now.
Okay.
Not for this project, kid.
Okay.
And you need to pick up somebody who can make this movie have those good comedic undertones, but make it creepy as fuck.
So Ari Aster.
Ooh.
You gotta, dude.
What you described is what Ari Aster
would do. If you make something this silly actually work to be that creepy, this movie could actually, like, this, wait, that
it's
would be interesting.
It's supposed to be sweet. It's supposed to be sweet.
Though. It's supposed to have a creepy vibe?
It's not really, but it's A24, and A24 gets down.
See,
like that.
I like the premise, but I don't like the...
No, you have to lean into this. This has to be a speed walking cult. This has to be a thing.
Yeah, that's why
where
it
people's
could work,
feet
though.
Are like bleeding and they're still like
that's
smiling.
So remember, that's why it could work.
So you remember Hong Chau? Remember her from the menu? That Asian woman from the menu. So yes. She's the best speed walker in this. So having her be kind of a weird culty speed walker.
The
person.
Guy
she is the person to have as a creepy
okay
walkie lady.
So you like having Hong Chau in there?
Yes.
Okay.
The father or the son.
They
should...
gotta lean into the creepiness, and Sore Losers has to be like. You know, their legs are so sore from walking, they can barely...
There's double meaning to it.
The father and the son, obviously one of them needs to kill
its
the
daughter.
Other one.
So Nicolas Cage and the redheaded girl from Stranger Things.
Okay, so one of them needs to kill each other.
No, I don't think Nick Cage...
You don't think Nick Cage would be good for Sore Losers? As a dad who's trying to...
Dude, you know who would be perfect?
I thought of Bryan Cranston.
No.
I didn't go with Cranston.
Dude, someone a tad more unhinged. Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon trying to reconnect with his daughter through speed walking.
But
with Miranda Otto as his wife.
Bro, Michael Shannon can...
Okay. I thought you were going to say Pedro Pascal, but that's a little...
He's already up for, okay. So would y'all green light this, or should I go back to the writing board a little bit?
If this could be... Go back to the writing board, but make this a scary movie. But keep the speed walking premise.
Not scary, creepy.
So there you go. Yeah, creepy and unsettling.
I love the idea of the speedwalkers being a cult or having culty angle to them. I like that a lot.
You legit have to have somebody like falling down and like defecating and like stuff from like the exhaustion, and they're just like still smiling and
or just how like self help or like these health groups kind of do feel culty and they help your life, but at what cost? I like that. Okay, yeah. I'll definitely workshop this. All right, guys. So last one. Guys, horror's in. It's cheap to make with huge returns. 2022 was one of the biggest years of horror. We had Smile, we had Barbarian, we had Scream 6. So I have my own horror movie. So here's my premise. So a father and his adopted daughter, they're on a hike. and then they're stalked by an aggressively territorial grizzly bear after an attack that claims their companion and also gravely, seriously injures the dad. They're in a race against time to, you know, either get help and survive. This is a throwback to animal survival movies like Cujo. Also, 2019's Crawl. It's like a throwback to like animal horror. The Gray. So, and this movie is called Grizzly. Grisly. It stars Zendaya as the daughter, J.K. Simmons as her dad, Ben Mendelsohn as their...
So, like...
Who's the bear?
Are we going to make it race mixed? Are we going to say the Zendaya's mom was a...
Yeah, in the beginning I said she's adopted.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Then Ben Mendelsohn as their friend, and then Octavia Spencer is the emergency operator who's trying to help them, and it's directed by Fede Alvarez, who directed Don't Breathe and Evil Dead 2013. It's called Grizzly. It's a animal attack horror movie survival.
I
feel like we gotta have Liam Neeson involved.
I think somewhere. Hear me out.
How many Wolf movies did he do? At least two.
He did one. I think he did one.
I sort of got into two. There was one with Alec Baldwin, like an old one.
Maybe
for what?
Didn't he do a movie with Alec Baldwin and
Liam Neeson the Wolf? Oh, maybe.
At least it was. I don't know if it was a wolf, but it was like out in like the polar area. Maybe I'm crazy.
I'll look it up. Don't worry. Sorry, what were you gonna say here? I'll look it up for you.
What if what if we let's replace Ben Mendelsohn's character with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, a big star.
We'll have him get mauled by the bear.
Because someone has to die.
And then they'll leave him for dead. And the movie will be about Leonardo coming back to murder the family. So we pivot to Leo. I think that could work. He might even win an Academy Award for that shit.
Eric, did you just...
oh, man.
No. the reason why, because I think slashers are kind of going out, but everyone is scared of nature, and especially animals. Cocaine Bear kind of made it so that like bears can be both cute and cuddly, but they're horrifying. So what if we kind of dialed that to 11 and made the monster, you know, really territorial grizzly bear, you know, don't want to come across that.
Yeah.
So are y'all leaning more towards writer's block? Take it back, writer's room, or do you want to green?
No, I think, there's nothing really special that needs to come from an animal terror movie. All you need is good, you know, like action of the, you know what I'm saying? Like there doesn't need to be a whole lot of like good dialogue. What I'm saying? So
it's all the tension and the
I feel like as long as you have the scenes where the animal is on camera good, then
also I wasn't entirely crazy. It wasn't Alec Baldwin. It was Alec Baldwin. It was what's this guy named? The guy Hannibal Lecter.
Anthony Hopkins.
Hopkins.
Okay.
It was a movie called The Edge, and they were being chased by a big bear in the wilderness, not wolves.
Okay.
But it had that kind of similar vibe of like this winter survival.
Yeah. I remember
to be in the winter, like a polar area, right?
Yeah.
That
always makes it a little more intense. The animal survivor.
Okay.
Movies.
Dude, we should make.
I like the A24 idea the best.
We should make a movie where two actors are voicing over bears, and the bears are trying to survive from hunters throughout the
day. Like a Tucker and Dale, but with bears.
Like,
almost.
Bro, like,
okay, I love that.
Come on, man, that's gotta be a Yogi Bear movie, right?
but for real, kind of Yogi Bear.
I need to see Yogi just Bear and
take whatever you have and
Babu.
No, it's Boo Boo.
Take whatever you have and flip the dynamics. Okay. The bears are the good guys. The humans are the bad guys.
Whenever Yogi Bear gets public domain, that's the movie somebody has to make.
Dude, somebody already made a Winnie the Pooh slasher film.
Yeah, we saw that already. That was terrible.
See, guys.
There's no way that was going to be good.
Yeah. See, guys, we have all the answers, and we know how to save Hollywood. So, guys, I think we have something going here.
Hey, I don't know about you, Eric, but I think it's got to be the A24 movie is the big winner, right?
Dude, that one is weird enough to just fucking link up with some people, and it's gonna like right. that's one of those movies that you go see because it's A24 and because it has Ari Aster, and then you're like, I need to tell everyone about this because of how fucking creepy it was.
Yeah,
that's how Hereditary won people over. Yes. It was word of mouth, man.
Yeah, definitely word of mouth.
Lighthouse, all these movies. It's
I like Ari Aster way more than Roger Eggers.
Robert Eggers has a better eye.
The Witch was a great movie.
He has a better eye for like composing shots and just set design, but I like how Ari tells his stories. It's tough. Midsommar was Ari Aster.
Yeah. Hey man, when we're not doing this podcast, we need to talk about Beau Is Afraid.
Man,
I never talked to you about that.
Man. Movie. Yeah,
I saw it like four times, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yes, sir. So, but that was it. Thanks for playing. Pitch,
that was
please.
Good.
Thanks for playing, guys. Thank you.
That was good. I'm glad I could bring some help to the table.
Yes, thank you.
It's the new hot idea on Hollywood, guys.
So, what we got next, Juan?
So next is another new segment. Another
man,
hopefully creative little idea.
We are blessed.
So this is
today.
Just the first part of the segment. Basically, it's called One Shot.
One opportunity.
One Shot, the idea behind it is that we're going to spin a wheel, Wheel of Fortune style. Obviously, you can't see it, but you might be able to hear it. We have it here spinning for us. And all through the wheel, we have different streaming services. So we have stuff like Starz, Showtime, Tubi. The wheel was a little big, so we had to get flexible with some of the streaming services.
Crackle.
And obviously the big ones. Disney, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon.
I don't have 10 of these.
Yes. So Eric's not going to be a part of this. No, okay. So look, our idea is basically everybody's already watched a lot of the big shows. Everybody knows, you know, stuff like Silo on Apple TV
or
Squid Game. Yeah. They've watched Friends. You know, you don't need us to hype those shows for you. Everybody's watched Shogun, Fallout. The intention with it is not necessarily no-name shows, but it can be new shows. It can be slightly off-kilter shows. More importantly, shows that you're not likely to have seen. And it's pretty random. We roll first for streaming service. And then we do a second roll for genre, right? So we have kind of a double randomness. Afterwards, we go in, we go into a streaming service, we go by the genre, and we try to pick something that lives up to those rules. That pretty much it, Cozy?
You definitely summed that up. So let's go with the first spin.
Yeah, so we'll watch it this week and kind of give you guys a review next week. Has One Shot to impress us or to let us know it's not
that's
worth
a lot because man, there's a lot of shows where the pilot isn't that great and then I watch the rest of it and I'm like,
got one opportunity
that was
great. To
that's really fair. That is a critique of this method, but you know, you can't watch everything.
I know.
These are kind of random shows. These aren't the big shows that word of mouth is already telling you to watch. This is kind of, you know, we all know Netflix and all these other places make hundreds of shows. Not everybody can have the time to watch, so hopefully we can get some shine to a little bit under the radar.
I mean,
the
good news is usually the first episode is what they're given to pull people in.
Yeah,
yes. So
it usually encompasses the show.
There are two sides to that.
Yes.
So right. Let's do the honors.
Let's do the honors, Cozy.
All right, and for the first spin to figure out what streaming service we're going to watch it on.
How mad would your viewers be if they realized it was just a clicker noise and there's no wheel? No, I'm kidding.
MGM Plus.
Which
I definitely still have. So thank goodness we have that one. All right.
They're going to be stealing Kosi's login.
Now, next, we're going to now spin for the genre on MGM Plus. So we have the streamer. Now we're going to pick the genre of show.
It is a comedy.
MGM Plus comedy.
All right. So Eric, now we found out what streaming service it is and the genre, Eric will now do us the honors of making the very first pick of One Shot. So Eric, take it away.
Dude, I'm looking
no pressure.
Up the shows and I'm going to see
Heart of the Cards
guide me.
So I'm like pulling up the list.
Yeah, guys, Eric is actually pulling up the list.
I'm doing this live.
He's doing this for you guys, so we thank Eric.
Does MGM Plus have TV shows?
Yeah, MGM Plus has like regular TV and whatnot.
Hey, could I use your laptop? I don't have any service here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Damn it, Eric. Here, I'm just going to come over to your side because I don't need to talk while I'm choosing.
Oh, you're good. Actually. Bear with us, listeners. We're currently trying to pull up this. Yeah. And once again, I think what's cool about this is we're going to give some love to just shows that, you know, nobody would have even like given a second chance to. I think with this one, what we'll do is definitely watch the first show. And then next week on this next show, we're going to give you guys our opinion and what we thought of this show that we're going to pick, this MGM Plus comedy. So really want you guys to, you know, if you can watch along with us, please do.
That is a documentary. Dude, there are not a lot of comedies on MGM
Plus. Okay, in that case then, I'm going to pull an audible. I'm going to just respin because MGM Plus is
all like Condor.
There's show called Bridge and Tunnel that supposedly...
Is that a comedy?
Yes.
I could spin again for a genre.
No. If it's Bridge and Tunnel, it's Bridge and Tunnel. Bridge and Tunnel?
Is it a... Is it considered a comedy at MGM?
I'm trying to see if it's...
Let me look it up on here.
Okay.
Bridge and Tunnel. Pulled up MGM comedies.
Okay.
It seems like... Or unprotected sets... Stand-up comics on the verge of breaking out.
Unprotected what?
Unprotected sets. Kind of like unprotected sex.
Set, okay.
Like a
comedy set. That actually sounds pretty good.
This dramedy series. Okay, yeah.
Okay. I like it.
Set in the 1980s.
All right, so Bridge and Tunnel.
Okay.
Seems to be the pick.
Okay, so this show is about set in the 1980s, revolves around a group of college grads setting out to pursue their dreams in Manhattan while still clinging to their familiarity of their working class Long Island hometown. All right, so you heard it here, guys. It was Mooney listeners. So we are going to be watching MGM Plus's Bridge and Tunnel, and next week on our next week's show, we're going to let you know if it got our one shot or not. So
if it's stay one with shot, us. One opportunity.
Oh my God!
Yes, Eric. We finally said
we had to be corny, bro. We're in our 30s.
but Eric, thank you very much for, you know, making the first inaugural pick of One Shot,
dude. Thank absolutely. You guys don't need to tell me how it is because I won't be there.
Oh yes, we'll so definitely just tell you.
Let me know.
We'll let you know, bro.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
So I think it's time for plug of the week. So anyways, all right. As always, we're going to let our guest go first. Eric, what's your plug this week?
You know, we were talking about it, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it because I didn't think I had anything else lined up. George Clooney's Michael Clayton.
Ooh, okay.
It's okay. A movie about a fixer for a firm who's one of their clients goes AWOL and wants to start whistleblowing, and they send George Clooney on him. It came out when I was a child. And it was a very popular movie. It was nominated for a lot of Oscars, but I never understood it when I watched it in high school. I was like, this is too dramatic. But I watched it less than 5 years ago, and I loved it. I thought it was a great film. I think you would enjoy it a lot, Juan.
So, I did not enjoy it when I watched it in my youth.
Yeah, no, and neither did I. Yeah, neither did I. That's... Yeah,
it was not. It was the movie I was expecting, I guess, to watch.
So it was too much talking, too much drama. I was like, "This is boring." But yeah. as an adult, when you know what they're talking about, it's actually really, really.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Almost, I think it did. At least it got nominated for Best.
Yeah, Tilda Swinton, Tom Wilkinson, R.I.P.
Tom Wilkinson,
George Clooney. He won an Oscar for that.
Yeah, right,
actually. Okay. But yeah, so that's my plug, Michael Clayton. I think it's on a streaming service somewhere.
Yeah, it says you can watch it on Showtime, Paramount Plus, or Apple TV, or buy it on Apple TV.
Okay, well, there you go.
Cool.
Awesome.
Okay. Mine was another one we kind of referenced a little bit earlier. Ray Donovan.
Oh,
at least okay, season okay, one okay. and even season two. But season one in particular.
No, no. Sorry. I watched this recently, and the entire show is great, and the movie brings a lot of closure.
Okay. I did drop off a bit about season three, I think.
It's phenomenal throughout.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's Liev Schreiber, right?
Yeah.
I've seen the poster
it's
for it.
The best role that John Voight has ever done in my book.
John Voight.
Mickey.
Okay.
John Voight was
Mickey Donovan
the dad
is great.
And oh, holy man. Crap, he's such a piece of shit.
And
but he plays that role so
I see Eddie Marson on here. Eddie Marson's in this show.
Who is he?
He's been in like a lot. He was in Snatch.
Show me his picture.
If you see his face, he has that face. You've seen him before. Eddie Marson. This guy. Let me pull up a.
Yes, he's
Terry. Yeah. Terry Donovan, the guy with the shakes.
I think he was in Snatch.
Yeah, he's a brother.
Yeah, he plays a boxer because they're all from, you know, South Boston.
Okay.
He
heavy Bostonites.
Yeah, he played. Okay. He was a fighter and he got hit in the head too many times and now he like shakes and he's disabled and he has a really good arc too. Yeah. Good shout out, man. That's a great fucking show.
Is this show, and this show is still on air, no?
No, it was on Showtime? I believe.
Okay. I watched it on Amazon or Paramount.
Yeah, okay. I think it was on Showtime. It was kind of the follow-up Showtime had to Dexter. Do you remember that
show? Yeah.
It was kind of their next big show after Dexter when Showtime was still kind of at the top of the game.
Okay.
It's a modern-day Sopranos. If anybody's a fan of this... Of the Sopranos, the show
similar vibe.
The show is kind of on the same
similar
level.
Vibe. If it was less of a crime family and just Tony doing his thing,
yeah, like the show should have been called The Donovans because it really wasn't all about Ray.
Even then, like he was the central focus. It's a fun show. I won't spoil any of it, but there's a big twist season one in particular. And it kind of escalates from there. It's a good show. I didn't watch the movie.
You should watch the movie, actually.
I probably might have to check it out again.
Watch the movie.
So the movie and the shows are both on Showtime?
I actually watched them on Amazon.
Okay.
Because I think you can watch Showtime shows on Amazon.
I believe so.
All right.
I believe so. I think Amazon, you can get like a Showtime kind of add-on. Maybe.
The movie I had to buy, though. I mean, renting it was $2 and owning it was $3, so I just bought it.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was a good show for its time.
Yes. Dude,
it was a
good show. Good choice, man.
Okay. Kind of before the modern streaming era, like one of the last big shows.
Yeah, because that was on around the same time as Bosch, which was another really big
Bosch.
Show.
Yeah.
All right, Kosi, what's your plug?
My plug of the week is a movie. So I'm part of GoFobo. It's a little organization that allows people to see movies early. So on Monday, I was treated to a special sneak peek viewing of In a Violent Nature. It is a
lucky dog.
Yeah, right.
Lucky dog.
It is a Canadian slasher film. It's written and directed by Chris Nash. So Chris Nash is like really, really new to the scene. Canadian born and bred filmmaker. He has a incredible just eye and just energy for the genre of horror. He's a horror fan like I am. So this movie got a lot of hype because when the first trailer came out at the beginning of the year, it's kind of like it's basically like if Friday the 13th was filmed like a nature documentary. So you're kind of following Jason from like the third person POV.
It's a movie from the killer's point of
view. Yeah, it's very unique. You've seen it kind of, but kind of sort of done before, but this never in like a full length movie. And it's great. Fantastic performances. This is a movie that, you know, should be experienced in theaters. Definitely see it with a crowd. It's like ASMR horror. It's almost kind of
sounds
creative.
And there's gurgles.
A lot of gurgle, a lot of nature sounds, a lot of
crunching
of leaves.
And man. Oh, I want to see it so bad.
The sound design is incredible. Just the cinematography, but then just the kills. The kills are what you come for. And
well, that's what I want to talk to you about. Everyone's talking about this thing called the yoga kill.
Yes. Yes. For my viewers, I won't.
No spoilers.
Yeah. Well, I won't. Off air, I'll explain what I saw to you.
Yeah.
If you don't care what it is,
dude,
but
I want you to tell. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go see it, but I want you to tell me.
But in any case, I'm a person that's watched horror his whole life. I love horror movies. I've watched a lot of kills in horror movies and nothing's ever really like, stuff has been like, oh snap, that's amazing. But nothing has ever been like
as
creative,
imaginative is the word that I see all the time. And
never seen this before in terms of like the kill. And I put it up there like one of the best kills I've ever seen in a horror movie.
Question:
yes,
I know this might be bleeding a little long, but this is a genuine question. Did you ever watch those Terrifier movies?
Yes, it's on par with Terrifier 2.
Because those were creative as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
some poor Terrifier 2. The bedroom scene in Terrifier 2 is still wins because that's just mean.
That scene is just evil.
But this one, it's the same fervor, the same energy, but really film well. It's art. So yeah, I definitely will. I recommend In a Violent Nature. It comes out in theaters. Actually, it's select theaters, so it's not out wide yet.
Doesn't it come out to Shudder tomorrow?
Yeah, it comes out to Shudder. Not yet. It comes out to Shudder in a few weeks. Okay. It's kind of making its rounds. It's limited release in theaters, but it'll be on Shudder soon. So I recommend it. Dude. In a Violent Nature. I want to see what this guy does next.
You want to go see it in the theaters with me?
I would definitely. I would want to go see it again. Yeah. I want to see this guy, what he'll do with Friday the 13th. This guy kind of proved he can do a Jason movie. I know Jason.
Yeah,
it's been a limbo.
People were saying this was an audition movie that just was a grand slam. It was supposed to be like a ground roll double, and it ended up being a fucking out of the park grand slam.
Either Blumhouse or Universal should pick this man up.
Eric, this is a nerd
right
podcast
away.
We don't know about baseball here.
No.
It was supposed to be a good play that ended up winning people the game.
Oh, thank you.
So
dumbing it down for us, Eric.
So that is my plug of the week, guys. Thank you so much for listening,
dude. About sports stuff, can I say I saw a video today.
Yeah.
And it was Steph Curry bouncing the ball, and he accidentally found a dead space in the court because the ball went out.
Yeah.
And the caption was, imagine being so good at basketball, when you lose your dribble, you assume it's the ground. That's so fucking true, though.
Yeah.
He went back and he found it. I was like, oh my fucking God, dude.
Very true.
No, the ground is wrong. My skills are too superb.
Speaking of sports, looks like the Mavs are going to the finals.
Ooh, baby.
There you go.
Theoretically, still a tiny bit of hope for the Wolves, but not really.
It's tough being a Rockets fan, dog.
You know.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it'll be our time soon. Yeah, but we got this, though. But anyway, guys, Eric.
Brother. Dude.
Thanks for showing up.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you. And thank y'all. And thank you guys, listeners, again, for tuning in. Again, please like and subscribe to us on Spotify. Also, please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can get access to these episodes and other content. Thank you, Wani B. Thank you, Eric. Again, thank you, listeners.
No, thank you, Cozy. Aww. No one ever thanks you, so thank you.
Thank you. And
I feel like that was shady.
Yeah.
I was looking at you the entire time. I'm kidding.
And until next time, guys. Peace.
Adios.